From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
You know, I was studying, researching for the show today. It's going to be an impactful show. I caught myself not fully understanding and then appreciating, maybe that's not the right word, but an appreciation for the perseverance, the story that we're going to tell today. There were 6 million Jews amongst 11 million overall killed, murdered actually, by the Nazis in World War II. Six million Jews. We think of that number, right? Okay, it's 6 million. What a horrible tragedy. No, it goes beyond that. Once you understand how they died, why they died, what they suffered, and then the survivors, what they went through, it becomes more real. And it should be more real because it's still real for us today. Dr. Alex Kaur is with us. Welcome. It is From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana, 2 decades strong and working on 3. Who is Dr. Alex Kaur? He is the survivor. And Dr. Kaur, good morning. Rocky Erickson is in studio. We're going to get rolling here. I guess I'm thinking of you as a survivor as well. So if that falls out of my mouth, forgive me. It was actually Eva and Mickey Kaur, your parents, who survived the Holocaust. And the story is compelling. Rocky Erickson, good morning, Rocky. How are you doing,
Good morning, Tom.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you, young man.
There's a story here to tell, and let's start off with that first. And again, Dr. Alex Kaur is with us. There's a couple of speaking engagements that you'll be at coming up in Montana to talk about your new book, A Blessing, Not a Burden. We kind of know the story of Eva Kaur and Mickey Kaur, thanks to Rocky Erickson's involvement there as well over the years. So I want to start, Dr. Alex Kaur, talking about that Billings connection. And then there are so many questions that I have and so much to express about this story. But again, thanks for being here. How did you run into Rocky Erickson, by the way? I mean, didn't you have enough misfortune in your life?
Well, thanks for having me on, Tom and Rocky. Yeah, so it was about 20-some years ago. I was living in Washington, D.C., and I get a Facebook message from a distant friend that I hadn't heard from in years, a Dr. Mike Bush. And Mike and I, in the late 80s, had played a lot of tennis together, and I knew he was in medical school, and I remembered him saying, yeah, I'm going to move to Billings, Montana. So I get this message saying, Alex, I don't know if you remember me, but my son's in this genocide history class at Billings West, Rob Stanton. We're going to come to Washington, D.C. Would you want to lecture to our group? And so I said, of course. And I wasn't really doing that much public speaking regarding this topic at that time. And I spoke to the kids, got to know Rob. And then there was this guy there named Rocky Erickson, who obviously I found out over the years is the sports radio voice of Montana.
Legend.
So Rocky and I have been friends with Rob and Mike Bush, have been friends for years, and this led Tom to probably over the last 15 years, give or take a year, there have been kids every summer from Billings and actually also Miles City via John Tuke, who have gone to Auschwitz with our Candles group, and so they've learned firsthand, you know, the evils of hate. And I think a lot of these kids are now young adults and adults, and hopefully we've changed a few lives.
Oh, I know you have. Rocky, talk about how it impacted you to the point where you became involved and become, you know, a kind of a living tribute to Eva. And
when I have an opportunity to speak at high school or college graduations, I share with the young people, I may be one of the most screwed up people you've ever met. I struggle with depression. So what I do is I read Holocaust books for vacation. I go to death camps in Poland. Now, the only genocide class taught in any high school in Montana is at Billings West High, Rob Stanton, who's also a very successful football coach. And my daughter was a senior. You have to be a senior to teach a genocide class. She volunteered me without asking me to be a chaperone on the D.C. trip. And I went, and going to Auschwitz with Eva, to me, was life-changing. I take her story of survival and forgiveness across Montana, speaking in schools and in churches. And Tom, when we had Eva here, and thanks to Taylor Brown, he donated thousands and thousands of dollars of advertising on Northern Broadcasting. We had over 4,000 people at West High, and it was at that time one of the largest crowds she's ever spoken to. And we brought her back to Miles City. She spoke in Glasgow before, and everybody knows who Eva Kaur is in Montana.
And around the world, too. Dr. Alex Kaur is with us via phone. He's going to be presenting some lecture presentations here in Montana. Let me give you those, too, and then we're going to get into this story, Alex. And again, thank you for being here. It'll be Miles City Thursday, so I got to go back from September 27th. 26th is Friday, so the 25th, Thursday, September 25th. Miles Community College at 1 p.m. This is for the nursing students, and I'm curious about this, a medical ethics lecture, because I'm sure your ethics has got an interesting perspective because you're growing up. And then at 7 p.m., this will be at Custer County High School, all right, a lecture open to the public at 7 p.m. That's on Thursday, the 25th. Then on Saturday, it starts at 6 o'clock and back at Billings West High School on the 27th. Alex Kaur, what is going to be your message? What do you want to convey? This story is broad. It's deep. It's long. How do we understand it in that amount of time, sir?
Yeah, there's a lot of unpacking that is done during my 40 to 50-minute lecture. But as a child of two Holocaust survivors, with both parents unfortunately passing away in the last six-plus years, I never, ever expected to be doing this. I'm a full-time podiatrist. I have a lot of other responsibilities. But, 2 days before my mom died, we were during our typical Auschwitz trip, July 2nd, 2019. My mom's playing on her social media, texting, emailing people. I said, Mom, you're 85 years old. At what point are you going to slow down? When are you going to, you're not getting any younger. She looked at me like I had two heads. She goes, Alex, my dear, unfortunately, my work is needed more than ever. There's so much hate and anti-Semitism and bigotry and racism in our world. I can't stop. I need to keep on going. I never had a conversation with my mom as to what my role should be. Tom, Rocky, 2 days later in that same hotel room in Krakow, Poland, my mom passed away. So I've always thought since that time that I needed to continue her legacy and that of my dad's. And so you mentioned, along with my co-author, Graham Honecker, who's not Jewish, a little over a year ago, we completed our book. And one of the reasons I wrote the book was to tell my dad's story, because his story was kind of, he always liked to keep a low profile. I know Rocky met him. We had dinner with Rocky, my father. But my dad, once you got him to open up, he would tell you it's like a faucet that you can't turn on. And once you turn it on, you can't turn it off.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's more trying to continue their legacy, to keep people, aware. As we talked before we went on the air, there are so many people, young people in particular, that do not know history, do not know what happened. And as a friend of mine says, Stacey Gallen has an organization on the East Coast, we have to remember the past to protect the future. And I really like that saying, and I use it, crediting Stacy. But so, yeah, there's a lot of – I tell my dad's story. I tell my mom's story. I tell my story. One of the reasons the title of the book is A Blessing, Not a Burden, is I've always thought for many, many years and for many reasons that my parents' story, their perseverance, courage – was really a blessing and not a burden. And you mentioned my name with the word survivor. I'm called a 2G or second generation survivor, but also in 1987, I had cancer and I thought I was going to die. It had spread to my lungs. And my mom, I was in podiatry school in Chicago, and my mom left me a voicemail and she said, look, I know you're there. You're feeling sorry for yourself. You have to understand your dad's a survivor. I'm a survivor. You're going to be a survivor. This is your Auschwitz. And so when I heard those words, I quit feeling sorry for myself, and I truly believe being the son of two Holocaust survivors did make it easier for me to overcome cancer. I had chemotherapy, surgery. And that's been, you know, many, many years ago. I'm 100% healthy. So there's a lot of, hopefully, you know, as I tell people, I'll finish with this to your question. I tell people, look, when you come to my lecture, hopefully you'll be motivated. Hopefully you'll be inspired. You may cry. I usually cry. But my parents, and Rocky can attest to this, my parents had this incredible sense of humor. And despite the subject matter, I would be doing my parents a big disservice if the audience didn't laugh at some of their stories, because their sense of humor got them through a lot of tough times, more after the war, more once they got to the United States. But there are some really unique, interesting, funny stories. And I tell my audience, don't be surprised. You may chuckle a little bit because there are some funny things that happen along the way.
So. You know, Alex, that's so true. When you're at Auschwitz, where 2 million Jews were murdered by the Nazis, you know, there's a set of rules. I mean, you're not supposed to laugh. And the person that is laughing and smiling the most in our group is the survivor, Eva Kaur. And that is just incredibly unique. And Rob Stanton and I flew out to Indianapolis for her documentary, world premiere of her film. And the next day, we got to go to Candles. That's the Holocaust Museum that Eva and Mickey started. And I sent Eva a text when I got back to Montana. And I said, I texted Eva, and I said, Eva, when I grow up, I want to be a tour guide in your museum. And Eva texted me back and said, Rocky, when I grow up, I want to be the voice of basketball in Montana.
and you could tell she had that sense of humor. There's a couple of documentaries that are really valuable. The one by Ted Green. I should have wrote it down here. It's like,
Eva A-7063.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's well told, and I would encourage people to go to that, and we'll talk more and get directions there. But one thing I take away there, as we talk about you guys returning and her returning to Auschwitz, the very first time she returned and it was 1984. So,
correct.
And we probably have to go back and tell the story a little more she was in Romania as an 11-year-old with a 10-year-old and has a twin. And so there's a story to tell there. But give me your thoughts as when she went back and she just had a recorder that very first time and said, Mom, you know, thought about her mom, related the image that she had, her last image of her. And that's hard to carry that around when you're 10 years old. Mom, I will tell our story. Alex, talk about maybe that moment and how that really lit the fire for what came after.
Yeah, those are all good points. So my mom and my aunt are identical twins. We're identical twins, and they were used in Mengele's medical experiments at Auschwitz. And so in 1984, as you alluded to, my mom went back on her own by herself to Poland.
Yeah.
By herself. I was not there. By herself. It was 39 years since she had last been there. And she had the wherewithal to have a tape recorder and just record her thoughts. And she's crying. And the interesting thing, and I've watched the movie, Tom, Eva A-7063, probably 35, 40 times. And just recently, I saw it 6 months ago. And I don't know if my mom knew what she was saying. But in 1984, she tells her mom, looking to the heavens at Auschwitz as an adult, Mom, I would tell your story. I hope you're proud of me. So from that point on, she became a Holocaust educator. She didn't even know it. But I think it was very prophetic that she looks to the heavens and tells her mom at Auschwitz, at the site where she last saw her mom, that I'm going to tell the world what happened here. And this was well ahead of anything else. You know, just to give you an idea of my mom's sense of humor, my sister and I and my dad were very concerned about her going back by herself. I think it was wintertime. And so she comes back to Indiana, and the famous liberation picture with my mom and my aunt at the front, she has a sweatshirt for my sister and I. On the front of the sweatshirt is that liberation picture. On the back of the sweatshirt is it says, my mom survived Auschwitz, and all I got was this lousy sweatshirt. And so it's somewhere in a box. I still can't find it, but my sister and I both got it. And so the point is that she knew that she wanted to tell the story. I don't know if she knew how she was going to tell the story. And so obviously a year later, in 1985, for the 40th anniversary, my sister and I went back. We had about 10 Mengele twins there. And then the following week at Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, we had a mock trial of Mengele, which led to a lot of publicity in generating to try to find Mengele in his bones, et cetera.
And it was then that, as she says later on, she became a dangerous person. She says it herself, just because of her passion for educating people about this and her way of telling the story, too. Dr. Alex Kaur is with us. He is a, what'd you call it, a second generation or a G2 survivor?
We're called 2Gs, or child of Holocaust survivors. The grandchildren will be 3Gs, so 2Gs.
Gotcha. And the son of Eva and Mickey Kaur, Rocky Erickson, is in studio. We'll take a break and come on back. We'll talk more about A Blessing, Not a Burden. That is Dr. Kaur's new book, some presentations in Miles City on Thursday, September 25th. 1 o'clock at the college, 7 p.m. at the high school, and then Billings West High School Auditorium on Saturday, the 27th at 6 p.m. Back with more here of Dr. Alex Kaur in a bit. Powerful story of determination, perseverance, and then also on the other side of that, educating us about what happened during the Holocaust. Welcome back from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. Rocky Erickson is in studio. A well-known figure across the state of Montana, sports figure, but also well-known for his connection to Eva Kaur, and the story of Eva and Mikey, Holocaust survivors, being told now by Dr. Alex Kaur. And as I mentioned, Dr. Alex Kaur coming to Montana. I'll give those dates again here in just a little bit. The story is about Eva and her twin sister, and then also, you know, Mikey's escape as well. 4 years in Buchenwald. That's also quite a story to fold into here. Rocky, you wanted to start off, though, with an impression again for us.
It was a life-changing experience for me to be at Auschwitz, and our group kept getting bigger and bigger when people realized that we had a Holocaust survivor with us. People don't expect to go to Auschwitz and actually see a Holocaust survivor who was there. And the most powerful thing I've ever witnessed in my life was in the twins' room in Block 6 at Auschwitz 1, where Eva would sit in a chair, and as tour groups went by, she would point to the picture of herself as a 10-year-old, and then she would point to herself, indicating, this photo is me when I was here at Auschwitz. One afternoon, I sat there for 4 hours, and I seen tour guides break down and cry when they actually met Eva for the very first time. And that, what an incredibly powerful scene. And Alex, tell me about, you know, your thoughts on witnessing that at Auschwitz.
Well, to give everybody a little bit of background, there's many, many barracks in Auschwitz I. One of those barracks is the twins' barracks. And years and years ago, I mean, the first time I went back in 1985, there was this huge picture on the wall with my mom and my aunt. That picture is taken from the liberation of the twins on January 27th, 1945. My mom and my aunt happened to be in the front of the line. And so from that point on, since 1985, my mom would make a point of taking pictures pointing at herself. And then we realized, particularly as my mom's mobility got worse, say after 2005, 2010, she would just sit in that room instead of going on the tours because she couldn't get around the camp that well with a walker. And she would just sit in that room and point at herself. Sometimes the tour guides knew exactly who she was. Sometimes they were on a schedule, and then somebody in their group straggled behind and said, wait, that's you? And next thing you know, she's giving impromptu lectures in Spanish in Chinese and in French. I mean, it was it's amazing. And so the last 15 years, probably from 2006 or 7 until my mom passed away in 2019, I would spend a lot of time in that room with my mom. And now when I go back now, I've been back 5 or 6 times since my mom passed away, I go to that same room and kind of do what my mom did. Obviously, I'm not pointing at myself, but people will come through. I was just there 2 months ago, and people say, oh, yeah, we know that's your mom. Can you tell our group the story? And so it's very flattering. It's for me, you know, it's important that I tell the story that people don't forget. You know, ironically, there's another picture of my mom and the twins to the left, and I heard this lady in Spanish pointing at this other lady and said, that's Eva Kaur. And I said, no, that's not Eva Kaur. This is Eva Kaur. So sometimes I have to correct them, but I've seen tour guides break down. One of the most amazing things I saw was, and this was probably 15, 20 years ago, there was no group. There were these two twin girls from South America, I think Peru, identical twins, they were 10 years old, and they ran toward my mom and took a picture. Sorry.
Yeah.
And we had all kind of pictures taken. It was very, very appropriate. And these two girls, they didn't speak English. The mom spoke English. But we kept that picture, and I think we kept in touch with the mom for years. But that room has special significance for me and for many people. And yeah, my mom spent a lot of time in that room, and we have a replica of that picture in Candace Holocaust Museum as well.
Dr. Alex Kaur, you're a medical doctor, semi-retired, it says here, podiatrist, but you just actually were in surgery not that long ago. Tell us about these experiments by Dr. Mengele. I mean, the fact that her and Miriam were twins actually saved her life through this, along with her perseverance and the grace of God. But talk about, you know, what she went through there.
Well, you might have news for me. I'm not semi-retired. I'm still working.
Oh, is that right? I apologize. That's what I read somewhere.
Rocky's semi-retired.
Well, it's Rocky. Okay. I think I will be after this show, but go ahead.
So most 9, 10, and 11-year-olds, when they got to a concentration camp, especially Auschwitz, they were no use to the Nazis. They were sent immediately to the gas chamber. And so my mom was saved for one reason, and one reason only, because she was a twin. And as they got off the cattle car, my mom and my aunt, age 10, dressed alike, looked identical, held onto their mother's arms. They stepped from the cattle car down to the selection platform. In the midst of this was chaos, dogs barking, mass people screaming and crying. My mom realized that her father has been swallowed up into the crowd. Her two older sisters, who were not twins, who were 12 and 14, swallowed up into the crowd. And all of a sudden, she's looking like she's landed on Mars. She has no idea. She's 10 years old. She can't see over the people. And so somebody's running up and down the selection platform, a Nazi running up and down saying, twins, twins, in German. A Nazi approached my grandmother, my mother's mother, and said, are they twins? And she said, yes, is that good? And they said, yes, it's good. Yes, they're twins. And 3 seconds later, two Nazis separated my mom from her mother. And the last thing my mom and my aunt saw was my grandmother being dragged away.
Yeah, and
my mom would always say this, that the one thing she always regretted was that she never knew this would be the last time she would see her mother. She never had the opportunity to say goodbye.
Stand by, Alex. We'll pick that up as we come on back. Dr. Alex Kaur is with us here, a blessing, not a burden, today with Rocky Erickson on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this. The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Happened so long ago, in the early 40s to the mid 40s. It's understandable that maybe we forget perspectives of the Holocaust, but not today and not going forward here as well. 3,000 twins were experimented on at Auschwitz and throughout the Holocaust by Dr. Mengele. Those experiments were brutal. Of those 3,000 twins, 200 survived. A couple of those are named Eva and Miriam Moses at the time. And Eva met Mickey Corr, and then they had Alex Corr. And then Alex is with us today. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. We tell the story of Eva and Mikey, I should say, and then Alex as well. Alex is a podiatrist, a well-known author, lecturer, and son of Holocaust survivors. Also, he's a bit of a basketball enthusiast, like his dad, who graduated from Purdue and graduated from the pharmacy program there, too. So, wow, not only, Alex, thanks for being here, Rock Erickson in studio, not only surviving but thriving in America here. Let's go back and tell and finish up, and we got a couple of phone calls we'll get to, so thanks for standing by. Let's go back and finish up the story about Miriam and Eva and Dr. Mengele.
So you mentioned the experiments. You know, at times some of the twins, they try to change their eye color. One twin was always the control, one was the guinea pig. If one twin died during the experiments, they would kill the other twin and do comparative autopsies. At one point, my mom was injected with something, and Mengele 2 days later checked her fever. She had a high fever, and he said, too bad. She's only got 2 weeks to live. She's so young. My mom was then separated from my aunt and put in what my mom termed the barracks of the living dead, and people were more dead than alive, and somehow she survived that and was reunited 4 or 5 weeks later with my aunt. And, you know, this was all my mom's experiments started. They got to Auschwitz in May of 44. The experiments continued through about December of 44. And then we spoke about, you know, the liberation. There are probably, Tom and Rocky, about 10 or 11 twins still alive. I do know one set of twins, the Changara twins, in the famous liberation picture. They're both behind my aunt. Their mother and my grandmother were friends, and I keep in touch with the granddaughter of the Changara twins. The Changara twins live in Israel. And so, you know, this story, yes, it happened 80, 81 years ago, but the ramifications for the people involved and the offspring, the 2Gs, the 3Gs, et cetera, you know, continues. And, you know, for some, and I'll talk about this, you know, for me, one of the reasons I wrote the book was a call to action, because there are a lot of second and third generation that don't tell these stories. And I think it's so important with what's going on in the world, what's been going on in the world for many years, that these stories need to be told. And so, you know, the hate and anti-Semitism that my mom spoke of in 2019, unfortunately, has not improved. So. Right. But, yeah, the Mengele twins, there's still research. A lot of people, somebody asked me yesterday here in Florida, you know, do we know what was injected? We still don't know, and we would like to know. I don't know that it's going to help any of the living twins, but it's something that we, you know, we strive to learn more about what happened to the Mengele twins.
And when your mother tells that story and tells the story of Dr. Mengele, you know, dismissing her, there's a fire that lit. You know, it was months ago where the fire lit, but it got reignited there as well. I don't know if you can put your finger on it, Alex. You've seen it throughout your lifetime. Your book also tracks, you know, anti-Semitism through their lifetimes, young in America. She became American citizen. Actually, on September 22nd, it'll be 60 years ago this year. When she became an American citizen. Can you put your finger on Eva's determination and the fire that brought her through Auschwitz?
She always told my sister and I that she had a guardian angel, and her goal was to live another day, Miriam to live another day. One really quick story. One time my mom was stealing food from the kitchen with two other twins. She turned around, a Jeep pulls up, and next thing she remembers is a rifle of a gun pointing to her. And then she wakes up and she thinks she's in the hereafter. She wakes up, touches the two dead bodies. She realizes that she fainted before the bullet killed her, and she lived. And so my mom would use that as proof that she had this guardian angel. Mm-hmm. So there was a fierce determination to survive another day, to live another day, that eventually they would be liberated, and that occurred, obviously, on January 27th, 1945. So there was, and that fierce determination didn't stop at Auschwitz. She had a lot of trials and tribulations. going to Israel. Once she came to the United States, when I was a young child in Terre Haute, believe it or not, fifth grade, we had swastikas on our house, and people didn't understand. Nobody talked about the Holocaust. This was 1971. And so my mom started talking about the Holocaust, and eventually those kids, they were my classmates, put swastikas on our house, go home, dirty Jew. Years later, they asked for my mom's forgiveness. So, you know, it's amazing how life turns out and how these important lessons will never die, even though my parents passed away in the last 6 years.
A lot of living wrapped up in these stories here for people to respond to. We've got some calls, people responding to it. Nancy, thank you for standing by, listening and Roundup. Wanted to share a quick story here. You're on the air on Voices with Dr. Alex Kaur.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, Rocky and Alex. And this is a real honor to talk to you and very exciting. I found out a couple of months ago that my great-grandmother on my mother's side was Yiddish. She, Anna Selig, she was born in Vienna, Austria. And my people came here before World War I, and at Ellis Island, her last name was misspelled. So this is why it took so long for me to realize that my people were Yiddish on my mother's side, and they married Russian Jews. And I just want to say that what you're doing is exactly what General Dwight D. Eisenhower ordered during World War II. He told the photographers and his troops to take as many pictures and film footage as they possibly could so that the future generations could see the truth of what was happening and what the Third Reich was causing. And I have a short story from World War I about Adolf Hitler. There was a terrible fight between the British and Germans. This was in World War I. And through the gun smoke, a young British soldier saw one man standing, a German. The rest had all been killed. And he took his rifle and aimed at the soldier. And for some reason, he couldn't kill or shoot any more people. He put the rifle down. And the young soldier was taken into custody as a prisoner of war. Well, it turned out that this was Adolf Hitler. And I have always wondered what would have happened had the English soldier killed Adolf at that moment. Would it have prevented World War II? And God bless you and continue the marvelous, wonderful humanitarian work.
Nancy, thanks for that call. A lot of what ifs are asked about this war and, of course, this Holocaust. We'll go to Skip's call in Hamilton. Skip, thank you. You're on the air with Dr. Alex Kaur here.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's a compelling last 40 minutes now, I guess. And it's what Nancy said, ditto to her compliments. And I'm kind of overwhelmed, but I wanted to know if in our school systems presently in the state of Montana, I'll stay with that because that's, I always concentrate on things as close to home as possible, the state of Montana and where I live over here in Ravalli County. Are our school systems doing an appropriate and adequate job of keeping this subject, I'll say, alive for the right reasons so that generations continue to learn, I'll say, what not to do or what can we do better by using these pieces of history as an example? Do you think we're doing a good job and in our public school systems? And what could we as private citizens do to make it better, if not?
Skip, thanks for that question. I'm going to throw it right to you, Dr. Kaur, here. But also, it's the Candles Holocaust Museum and Education Center that Eva and Mikey and now yourself are supporting. They founded that back in 1984. Children of Auschwitz Nazi Deadly Lab Experiments Survivors is what CANDLES stands for. CandlesHolocaustMuseum.org for more information there. Dr. Alex, Dr. Kaur, we're forgetting, how's Montana doing? I think one of the important messages here is for young people to attend and to remember, right?
Absolutely, Tom, and I thank both callers for their calls. I'm not privy to what, on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis, educators are doing at the middle school and high school level, but I can tell you this, to the last call, there's been no state, and I'll repeat this, there's been no state in the United States that has sent more kids, high school kids, to Auschwitz with candles and my mom than Montana. So from that standpoint, I can assure you that Rob Stanton, John Tuke in Miles City, Rocky, my friend Mike Bush, who really started this whole process, the state of Montana, at least with regard to candles, has been at the forefront of educating young people. Last summer, a year ago, I was at Auschwitz with a group of kids from Miles City. These kids were so well informed about the past, about their role, about what they could do. I mean, I was astonished as to how well versed they were and how important it was for them to understand and take in what they were experiencing and then to take it home to their parents, to their friends, to their teachers. And so, as my mom would say, you know, there's a ripple. If you throw a pebble in a lake, you have one ripple. If you have 100 kids throwing a pebble in a lake, you have a wave. And I hope this wave will continue in your state of Montana.
Thank you, Dr. Core. I appreciate that. We're up against a break, and we'll take it now. Three life lessons from Eva. Never give up on yourself or your dreams. Become the best you can become. You'll be happy there. And extra hugs and kisses for your mama, by the way. And to forgive. We've got more with Dr. Alex Core as we come on back from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Montana offers some of the best hunting in the country, much of it on private land. Access is a privilege, and every gate left open, field torn up, or rule ignored puts the access at risk. As hunters, we must do better. Get familiar with Montana's block management program and follow all area rules. Always ask permission and show respect to private landowners, because if we don't protect access, we'll lose it. It's up to us. Respect access, protect the hunt. Learn more at fwp.mt.gov/itsuptous.
As a Carroll College alum, I've learned that staying grounded means more than just keeping your boots on the ground. It's about connection to your purpose, your people, and your mental well-being. Whether I'm in the field or facing life's everyday challenges, I carry resilience built through faith, learning, and community. So here's your reminder. Listen to what you need. Reach out to someone who might need you, because taking care of the mind is part of the mission. Carroll College, for mind and mission.
When it's time to move your harvest, you need a rail partner you can trust. And at BNSF, we're more than just a railroad. We're a dedicated team of experts, utilizing advanced technology to serve key agricultural markets with reliable and safe freight delivery across our extensive network. For over 175 years, we've been a critical link in our nation's agricultural supply chain. You can count on BNSF. We've got this.
Cattle are amazing creatures that can take a unusable resource and turn it into a protein-packed opportunity to feed people.
If we just left this prairie to its own devices, it would become encroached with invasive species. It would no longer exist as a prairie.
We really care about the future generations because we want them to come back and enjoy raising beef as much as we do.
Together, we bring more beef. It's what's for dinner.
We all want reliable energy, but you might have heard the myth that Northwestern Energy's Montana rates are the highest in the region. The fact is, Northwestern Energy's Montana rates are below the national average for both electric and natural gas. Northwestern Energy's electric service reliability is better than the national average. Don't be misled by the myths. Get the facts. Go to northwesternenergy.com/Montana.
Lightning round with Dr. Alex Core here as we get ready to wrap up. Montana is becoming one of the fastest growing in the world for data centers. And tomorrow, we'll speak with Northwestern Energy's Blue Lefebvre, as well as John Chesser of Quantica, about their plans for a new data center in Billings. That's upcoming tomorrow. Rocky Erickson in studio, Dr. Alex Core, who will be in Montana with presentations regarding his new book, A Blessing, Not a Burden, Miles City, at the, well, the nursing at the community college at 1 p.m. for nursing students, an ethics lecture, how appropriate. And then a lot of the same for 7 o'clock that night, Thursday the 25th in Miles City at the Custer County High School. And then Billings West High School, where 4,000 people were there. Rocky showed me a picture of that with Eva a while back. This is going to be Saturday, September 27th at 6 o'clock. Rocky, any final thoughts?
And there? Alex Kaur will be our halftime guest, provide a little color during the Billings West CMR homecoming football game next Friday night.
Alex, you ready for that?
Oh, yeah. I've done it before with Rocky.
Right. It's so hard to put a bow on this. And if you can, you know, we've got 2 minutes here. Share, I guess I'll lead in one direction here, because one of her life lessons, Eva's life lessons, is to forgive. But that's cliche just to say, oh, you got to forgive. You can see in the research here and in the books and in the writing that was a process for her, and it wasn't an easy process.
Absolutely, Tom, Rocky. It took my mom 50 years to forgive. She always told me she had to feel safe. The guns were no longer firing. There was no way she was going to be killed. But I do think it's important for people in Montana, whether you're in middle school or you're a senior citizen, at some point in your life, unfortunately, somebody probably did something bad to you or against your wishes. And instead of holding grudges your whole life, instead of having this chip on your shoulder, hopefully you don't have to forgive a Nazi like my mom, but you might need to forgive a friend who stole a girlfriend from you, or forgive a coworker who did something wrong to you. And I think, you know, forgiveness is not something that comes easily to most people. The knee-jerk response is revenge. But I do think that my mom literally stumbled upon forgiveness. And for me as a son, I think it gave her another 24 years of life. And hopefully for the audience, I think it's important that if somebody does something bad to you, instead of trying to get back, maybe at least you've been exposed now listening to this program to the idea of forgiveness, think about maybe a way to forgive them.
I appreciate it so much, and I know that that's in your story as well, the book A Blessing, Not a Burden, because it was a journey for you to get from burden to blessing in all of this. I'm looking forward to hearing more. It is Dr. Alex Kaur. MyHolocaustLegacy.com is where you can go to find out more information about the book. And then also, as I mentioned, the Candles Holocaust Museum and Education Center in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's CandlesHolocaustMuseum.org. For more information, Thursday the 25th in Miles City, Saturday the 27th at Billings West. Dr. Alex Kaur, I can't thank you enough. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much to both of you.
Good stuff. Rocky, thank you, too.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. And join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana, a live issue-oriented talk show heard daily on local stations all across Montana.